Let me start with a number, because the data tells an interesting story before I say a single word about the airplane. 150 miles per hour. 4 passengers and a pilot. 0 emissions out the back, and a noise footprint about 100 times quieter than the helicopter doing the same job today. That's the promise sitting in a hangar near Bristol, England. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Vector, and you're listening to Clear Direct. Today we're going to talk about a company most American pilots have barely heard of, even though it's been quietly doing some of the most credible flight testing in the entire electric air taxi race, Vertical Aerospace, and an aircraft called the VX-4. Let's break this down. Before we get into the engineering, a quick word about the people who keep this show in the air. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make Aviation Challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey struck in metal you can actually hold beautifully made. Built to last, and a lot more meaningful than another logbook sticker, that's AviationSoul.com. Now let's set the scene. For the last 5 or 6 years, the electric vertical takeoff and landing world, the eVTOL world, has been loud. And I mean that in two ways: loud with promise, loud with press releases, loud with concept videos of well-dressed people stepping out of glass bubble aircraft onto rooftops in some sunlit future city. A lot of companies showed you the destination. Very few showed you the work. Here's what most people miss. The hard part of an air taxi was never the flying machine. We've known how to make things hover for 90 years. The hard part is doing it safely enough, quietly enough, and cheaply enough that a regulator will let you put paying strangers in the back. That's a certification problem, an energy problem, and an economics problem all stacked on top of each other. Vertical Aerospace is interesting precisely because it decided fairly early to be boring about it, to chase the certificate instead of the spotlight. So what actually is the VX-4? Picture a sleek, fixed-wing airplane, a clean wing, a V-tail at the back, room for a pilot and 4 passengers. Nothing exotic about the fuselage. The exotic part is along the wings. The VX-4 carries 8 propellers, what the company calls rotors, mounted on the leading edges. 4 of them tilt on takeoff, all 8 point skyward and lift the aircraft straight up, like a multi-rotor drone, scaled up to carry people. Then, as it gains speed, the 4 front rotors rotate forward until they're pulling the aircraft along like a conventional propeller airplane. The wing takes over the job of holding it up. The rear rotors, the ones that only lifted, go quiet, and the aircraft cruises on its wing, efficiently, the way airplanes have always preferred to fly. That transition from lifting on rotors to flying on a wing is the whole ball game. It's where the aerodynamics get genuinely difficult. It's the phase that has humbled more than one program. And in 2024, Vertical flew it, a full transition from vertical lift to wing-borne flight, with a pilot on board in open air rather than tethered to the ground. That word, piloted, matters. A lot of this industry tests with the seat empty and a remote operator on a laptop. Putting a human being in the aircraft and flying the most dangerous part of the envelope tells you the company believes in its own flight controls. The data tells an interesting story there, and the story is confidence. Now let's talk about why a pilot should care about any of this, because it would be easy to file this under city stuff for people who don't fly. I don't think that's right. Here's why it matters to us. First, the technology trickling down, the motors, the battery management, the fly-by-wire flight control laws that blend 8 rotors into something a single pilot can hand-fly. Those are the same building blocks that will eventually show up in general aviation. The electric trainer, the hybrid twin, the backup power that turns an engine failure into a non-event. Every dollar spent solving distributed electric propulsion on an air taxi is partly a down payment on the airplane. You might fly in 15 years. Second, airspace. If even a fraction of the air taxi vision becomes real, we are talking about a new class of aircraft operating low in and around the same terminal areas you transit on a cross country. How these things integrate, how they talk to controllers, how they show up on your traffic display, that's going to touch every one of us. Better to understand it now than to meet it for the first time in a busy Bravo. So those are the stakes. Now let's be honest about the engineering, because honesty is the whole point of this show. Promise and problems. Both start with the genuine advantages. The tilt rotor configuration Vertical chose is, on paper, the efficient one. By tilting those front rotors forward and cruising on the wing, the VX-4 isn't fighting gravity with brute rotor thrust the way a pure multirotor does in forward flight. The wing carries the load. That means more range and more speed for the same battery. It's the difference between a helicopter clawing its way forward and an airplane gliding on its wing. Aerodynamically, the wing wins every time. Then there's noise. This is underappreciated. A helicopter is loud because of how its rotor tips load and unload the air, that characteristic blade slap you hear from a mile out. The VX4 spreads its lift across 8 smaller, slower-turning rotors. Quiet enough, in theory, that it could operate over a neighborhood without people reaching for the phone to complain. If electric aviation has a single public acceptance superpower, it's that it doesn't wake the baby. And the powertrain itself. Electric motors are radically simpler than turbine engines. Fewer moving parts. No combustion, no hot section, no thousands of hours of overhaul. Spread your propulsion across 8 motors and you get redundancy a single engine can never offer. Lose one, even lose two, and the flight control system rebalances the rest and keeps you flying. That distributed redundancy is one of the most genuinely compelling safety arguments in all of electric aviation. That's the promise, now the problems, and there are real ones. Number one, and it's always number one, batteries. Here's the uncomfortable physics. The best lithium battery cells you can buy today store somewhere around 40, maybe 50 times less energy per pound than jet fuel. 40 to 50 times. That is not a rounding error. That is the central, stubborn fact that shapes every electric aircraft on Earth. It's why the VX4's real-world range lands in the neighborhood of 100 miles, not 1,000. It's why the early business case is airport shuttles and short city hops, not regional airline routes. And batteries get worse, not better, in the part of the mission that matters most. Vertical lift eats energy. Every takeoff and landing draws hard on the pack, and you have to hold back a reserve for a go-around or a diversion, just like we hold fuel. When your total tank is already small, the reserve eats a brutal fraction of it. The margins are tight in a way that should make any honest engineer sweat a little. Number two, certification. The thing they bet the company on, Vertical is working primarily with the United Kingdom Civil Aviation Authority, the CAA, and coordinating with the European Union Aviation Safety Agency, EASA, to certify the VX4 to airline-level safety standards. That is the right goal, and it is an enormous mountain to climb. Nobody has ever certified a piloted, winged eVTOL of this type for commercial passenger service. The rulebook is being written in parallel with the aircraft. When you're the first one through a door, you pay for the door. Number three, and this is the one that doesn't show up in the concept videos. Money. Vertical Aerospace is a publicly traded company, and it has had a genuinely turbulent ride on the financial side. Burning cash, restructuring its debt, changing its ownership picture more than once. This is capital-intensive, slow, unforgiving work, and the gap between a successful test flight and a successful business is enormous. I want to be very clear with you. The engineering being real does not guarantee the company survives to deliver it. Several of Vertical's competitors have already learned that lesson the hard way, and at least one well-funded rival simply ran out of road and folded. This sector is littered with good aircraft attached to broken balance sheets. So who's actually building this and where does Vertical sit? Vertical Aerospace was founded by a British entrepreneur named Stephen Fitzpatrick, who came out of the energy world before turning to aviation. The company is based near Bristol, in the southwest of England, in a part of the country with deep aerospace roots. And rather than try to build every component itself, Vertical took a partnership approach that I think is genuinely smart. It works with established aerospace names, Rolls-Royce and Honeywell among them, on propulsion and avionics, and with a major battery specialist on the pack. The idea is to wrap an unproven aircraft around as many proven certifiable suppliers as possible. In a certification fight, a known supplier with a track record is worth more than a clever in-house gadget. How does that stack up against the field? The two American names you hear most have taken slightly different roads, and the company also faces well-capitalized rivals in Germany and China. Vertical's distinction isn't that it's the flashiest, it's that it went early and hard at piloted, full transition flight under a serious regulator with a deliberately conservative, supplier-heavy strategy in a race this expensive. Surviving is a strategy. Sometimes the company that wins isn't the one that flies first. It's the one that's still solvent when the certificate finally clears. So, what's the honest timeline? Here's where I have to be the engineer and not the salesman. You'll see optimistic dates floated. First, commercial passenger service in the second half of this decade? Could happen. But every program in this space has slipped, and slipped again. And the reasons are structural, not lazy. Certifying a brand new category of aircraft simply takes longer than anyone's spreadsheet assumes. My honest read? Expect limited, carefully scoped operations first. Short routes, ideal weather, generous infrastructure. Not a flying car in every driveway. A specialized tool, doing a specific job in a few specific places and proving itself slowly. And that's okay. That's actually how aviation has always advanced. Not in one leap, but in careful, instrumented, hard-won steps. Let me leave you with this. It would be easy to be cynical about electric air taxis. There's been enough hype to earn the eye roll, but strip away the marketing, look at the VX4 doing a real piloted transition over the English countryside. Look at the distributed propulsion redundancy and the quiet and the radically simpler powertrain, and you're looking at engineering that's further along than the skeptics admit. The batteries are the wall. The certification is the climb. The money is the question mark. All three are real. None of them are physics that says no. Here's what I keep coming back to. We are watching a new category of flying machine learn to fly, in public, in real time. Whether or not vertical aerospace specifically is the one that crosses the finish line, somebody is going to, and the airplane you fly 30 years from now will carry a little of this DNA. That's worth paying attention to. My thanks to Vertical Aerospace for the flight test details, and to the reporting from Flight Global Aviation Week and the company's own filings that helped me check the numbers on this one. You can find more of what we do over at RadioHangar.com. I'm Vector. Keep asking how things work. That's the whole job.